My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on Earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. When I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or currently planning your first trip to Walt Disney World and you think that Galaxy's Edge is a new phone from Samsung, then this really is the podcast for you. And every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney fans from around the UK to share their memories of magical times and their top tips. This week, Becky will explain more about this.
I fell over out of sheer fright, and the guy behind me just like picked me up and was like, "You have to move, go."
I'm also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news and events from the park if you're heading over there right now. Everything you need to know for the perfect trip to the most magical place on Earth. This is the most magical podcast on Earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. If you've got any questions, we'll do our best to answer them every Friday on the podcast. You can drop them over right now or at any time. Pod Magical on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, like Steph, who wants to know about the wet rides at Walt Disney World and exactly how wet you get on the wet rides. There's only really two that I would say you will get properly wet on. They are Splash Mountain and the Rapids over at Animal Kingdom. Rapids at Animal Kingdom, I've been on that ride and I've got really wet, and I've been on that ride and I've come off totally dry. It's a little bit hit and miss. Same with Splash Mountain. Yeah, you get a little bit wet, but it's not really a drenching ride. Meanwhile, over at Universal, I will tell you this, if you want to get totally drenched, the Popeye ride at Islands of Adventure at Universal, you will get soaked. I know sometimes they say you will get soaked on this ride. No, you will. You'll come off that ride and it's like you've actually just jumped off and jumped in the rapids. That's how wet you get. Always take a change of clothes if you're going to do the wet rides at Universal. But in terms of Walt Disney World, I don't think you get too wet at all. Hello to Tez on Twitter, who just wants a little bit more explanation about the tiers for attractions for fast passes. You mentioned tiers, Andy, but I don't understand what this means. You know, you get three fast passes a day, which you have to use at the same park when you're booking them. So at Hollywood Studios and at Epcot and Animal Kingdom, the rides are split into tiers. This doesn't apply, by the way, to Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, you just get your three fast passes for whichever ride you want. They're all in the same tier. But over at the other three, they're in tiers. So tier one and tier two. Tier one are the popular rides and tier two, not as popular. So when you're booking your fast passes for the same park, you get one from tier one and two from tier two. And I think where the confusion of this goes is over at Hollywood Studios, they recently changed that. So previously at Hollywood Studios, just the Toy Story rides were tier one and everything else was fair game at tier two. So back in the old days, when I say old days, I mean a few months ago, you used to be able to get Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster in tier two and then Slinky Dog at tier one. Now, Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror and Slinky Dog and the other Toy Story rides, they're all in tier one, which makes it just a little bit more tricky, especially at the minute, because we don't know how that maps out across the parks, because this doesn't come into force until the end of August when they open Star Wars, where there are no fast passes at the minute. So we're not really sure how that's going to affect how busy the rides are in general, whether the standby queues are going to be less busy because there's less fast passes. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. We'll keep an eye on the queue times as well, of course, every week right here on the podcast. Any questions? Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram is where you go. Same place to go if you want to join me every week for a chat, like this week's guest, Becky. And as I always start by asking people, Becky, what is it that you love about Walt Disney World?
There's so much I love about Disney. When people say it's the happiest place on earth, it actually is, though. Like, you never have an unhappy time in Disney. Have you ever had an unhappy time in Disney?
Have I had an... Going home is always a very unhappy time.
Don't.
The Magical Express that takes us to the airport, that's quite sad.
See, I've never had to do that. But what I hate is when I'm leaving and then it's all lit up all pretty behind me and, oh, it breaks my heart. But I've had So I've been three times.
Yeah.
Every time I've been, I've had the best time. But I think an ultimate highlight for me is Happily Ever After. I love Happily Ever After.
Okay. Let's go back to the first time you went. You said three times. When was the first time you went?
First time I went was 2014, October 2014, for my sort of like my 21st birthday present.
Good present.
Me and my best friend went, had the best time ever, but I didn't research anything.
No.
So I didn't know about like free fast passes.
You didn't know you got your three fast passes a day?
Nope.
Oh no. Now, so had your friend not been before either?
She had, but when she was like really young.
Right, so things will have changed since the old paper fast passes.
Yeah, I researched everything else. I just didn't know about that.
So how did you cope on your first trip then?
It It was so stressful. Because we hadn't got fast passes, we spent so much time queuing. I think like the longest we queued was 1.5, 2 hours for something. I can't remember what it was. But it was when the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train had just opened.
You're still getting long queues for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train anyway.
That's a sensitive subject, actually, that you'll probably find really funny. I had an experience with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
What happened on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
So when I went last October, me and my other friend went, and we'd basically, for like 10 years, we've been saying we need to go to Disney and have like the best holiday ever. So we went and we were trying to get on Dwarfs Mine Train, trying to get fast passes, just couldn't. So we were like, we're just going to have to queue for it. So Magic Kingdom, and this massive storm hit, like the worst storm I've ever. You know that bit where you're walking to Tomorrowland and it sort of dips a little bit, and it was literally flooded.
Like, okay.
You couldn't get through it.
Was this about 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's tends to when the storms happen, isn't
it? Yeah, it was really bad. But anyway, we noticed that the queue had dropped for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train right down to like 40 minutes. And we thought, right, it's never going to get any lower than that. Let's just go. So we legged it in the rain, got absolutely drenched. Had like the Disney ponchos on, an essential.
Obviously.
Always. Got there, the queue had gone up to an hour. We were like, that's fine, let's get on it. We queued for, I kid you not, probably nearly an hour and 40 minutes. So nearly 2 hours in total. So we're like going to get on and everyone's got their ponchos on, and we were like, oh, it's fine, rain's definitely stopped. We get in, realise that the whole ride is soaking. And you know, you have those moments where you think, we've made a real big mistake.
Yeah.
And you know, when it went hurtling down, it was the worst rain I've ever experienced. So we queued for like 2 hours. We saw none of it, not a single bit
just
of
with
that
your eyes
light.
Shut.
Yeah, pitch black dark. The worst rain, I literally got off it. I was wringing my clothes out because I didn't have the poncho that I'd spent like $14 on. It was probably one of the highlights of the holiday because it was so funny, but I was so angry.
From that memory, have you got a favourite memory, or is that your favourite memory?
That's up there with my favourite memory. So I went in October again, actually. We had like passes for Universal Studios. We were actually there for Halloween. And they open the Stranger Things horror maze.
Okay, for this is for Halloween Horror Nights.
For Halloween
over
Horror Nights
at Universal.
And I said to my friend, because like a massive Stranger Things fan, I was like, we've got to go. Like, if we're not going to Horror Nights, let's go and do it. We've paid for the tickets, might as well. Worst experience I've ever had in my life, but also the funniest. It was pitch, when I say pitch black, you can't see. If you put your hand in front of you, you cannot see.
So these are horror mazes, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's definitely not Disney over at Universal when they do Halloween Horror Nights. Definitely not.
No, see, I've heard very different things between when you go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and apparently it's really happy and
it's
wonderful.
Fun, you trick or treat, Mickey's dressed up as a pumpkin.
Yeah, no, you don't get that at Universal.
Not at Universal, no. It's aren't the people like walking around with fake chainsaws and stuff?
Yeah, and there's like a clown section as well, apparently, and I'm terrified of clowns, so
yeah.
Not a chance. But it was the funniest thing. I fell over out of sheer fright, and the guy behind me just like picked me up and was like, you have to move, go.
Get
I was
out.
Like, I don't want to.
So your favourite memory was from Universal.
Yeah.
Oh, and you come on a Disney podcast, you
say. Yeah,
favorite.
I'm sorry.
How outrageous is this?
I'm really sorry, but...
You and Mickey will hunt you down. He will find you.
Solely Disney, it was the first time I ever saw Wishes. And I bawled my eyes out.
Now, this is the old fireworks over at Magic Kingdom. It's not there anymore. A lot of people have said Wishes.
Wishes is just such a beautiful show, though.
I think it's the music from Wishes.
Yeah, it just gets me every time. Every time I went and watched it, because I went quite a few times because I loved it that much, but ugh.
Yeah, if you go in for a couple of weeks, you can't do the fireworks once for each part. You've got to do a couple of nights.
I tend to do them on my last day, apart from the first time I went, I didn't see Fantasmic.
Fantasmic, again, this is over at Hollywood Studios. This is a nighttime show around a big lake. I quite often tell people to do that on the first night. Especially
oh, really?
If you've never been, but I think that's a very good first thing to do is Fantasmic. Because it's a big show, all the characters are there.
I did it on the last night when I went last October and loved it.
It is a good show. It's good. What have you got a favourite attraction?
Do you know what? Rock and Roller Coaster.
Hollywood Studios. Uh-huh. What is it you love about Rock and Roller Coaster?
Oh, it's just the adrenaline that you get from when you're sat. So the first time I rode it, which again was last year because I was a real like wimp on roller coasters until I went last year, my friend shoved me on everything. And we were right at the back. And I was thinking, this is going to be like the worst experience of my life ever. And I loved it. And I came off and I was like, yes, this is the best. I just love the music that's blaring around because it's like, I feel like it's like Rip Ride Rocket Universal on steroids.
Yeah, because it's in the dark and there's the...
You're going through the donut and the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, and there's got the speakers limo behind you. What I love about this, because you know there's different songs. So it's an Aerosmith ride.
Yes.
Have you ever had Love in an Elevator where they change the lyrics to Love on a Roller Coaster?
Yes.
That's the best one to be on.
I had it the last time I went on it, because the last time I went, I had a Disney guide with me, which I don't know if you've done before.
There's like a VIP tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like a VVIP tour.
Oh, like a VVIP tour.
Oh, right. I tell you what we're going to do, because this sounds intriguing. We'll break and we'll get the latest news from Walt Disney World and Florida and Orlando and the theme parks. And then we'll be back with this week's guest, Becky, who's done a VVIP tour of the parks in Disney. It's been pretty quiet, actually, in terms of news coming over from Walt Disney World. You would have thought after last week's big announcement from Universal that Disney would have retaliated. Maybe they're hanging fire in a couple of weeks. D23 Expo over in California, which is the huge, I'm calling it a Disney Geek Fest. It's the ultimate fan event in terms of not just the parks, but in terms of films and Marvel and Star Wars and even The Simpsons this year. There's loads of conferences happening, loads of big announcements, especially on the Sunday morning. There'll be a lot of park announcements. So maybe Disney's got some big things up their sleeve. We'll have to wait a couple of weeks for that big news. Meanwhile, over at the parks, it's a brand new board game that you can get. Do you remember Perfection, that game where things pop out? There is now an exclusive Disney Parks Perfection. She's got like the Tower of Terror and Mickey Waffles on, stuff like that, which you can currently get in the parks. Over at Disney Springs, there is a new rapid menu over at Haleo for $25 per person. It's a set menu with three courses to choose from, and then you get dessert on top of that as well. It's a very quick place to go. And there's a new restaurant coming to Disney Springs as well, Beatrix, and it's been described by Disney as your neighborhood restaurant, coffee house, grab and go market, a lot of healthy options, a lot of freshly squeezed juices, gluten-free, vegan options as well. Kind of like a modern way of eating for the way we want to eat today. And if you are vegan, by the way, or vegetarian, you want some top tips on what to eat when you're going to Walt Disney World, make sure you re-listen to last week's episode. We have some great top tips on there. Final update for this week, if you're getting excited for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening in a couple of weeks over at Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World, you can now make some reservations for certain things that you can do over in the land, including the very in-demand Ogre's Cantina. If you want to get in the cantina, which since they opened over at Disneyland, that's been one of the biggest things to get in. Bigger queues for that than the actual ride attraction. Also, if you want to build a droid or build a lightsaber, you can now book into these attractions 180 days in advance. You can do that now on the Walt Disney World website. Good luck. The website was very busy when they opened that up on Wednesday. That's it for the latest news, but don't forget you can keep in touch as always, Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This week's guest is Becky, who has been on a VIP tour of Walt Disney World around the theme park. So explain what happens on this then.
So they picked us up at our hotel. So we were staying at the Swan and Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And they drive you out to the parks and you literally, they just ride to ride straight on.
That's extreme Disney if you've got the books, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've got the dollar.
Oh, if you've got the dollar, yeah, do it. It just makes it a breeze. Things like Toy Story Land, we went there first and we just walked on everything. And the last time when I went in October, I waited like 2 hours to get on Slinky Dog.
And especially with Star Wars, that's quite a good thing to get on if you could queue the attractions at Star Wars. You say you stayed at Swan and Dolphin last time. Is that your favourite hotel at Disney, or do you prefer to stay off property?
When I've been previously, I've stayed off property. I've stayed on International Drive just for the convenience of it.
Yeah.
I found is quite easy if you want to get to Universal, you're close. If you want to get to Disney, you're still close.
Good value hotels down there as well.
Great value hotels. Some really fun attractions as well, because I really love the Pirate Cove mini golf. I don't know if you've done that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. It's like a must for me. That's normally my first night thing, actually. But Swan and Dolphin beat every expectation I've ever had for a Disney hotel. Like, it was just incredible.
Now, Swan and Dolphin is slightly strange because it's in the middle of Walt Disney World and you've got Disney hotels around it, but it's not like an official, is it a Hilton or a Marriott?
A Marriott.
Yeah.
So
there's certain perks that you don't get.
Yeah. So you get early magic hours.
Yeah.
But you don't get things like you can't connect your magic band to your room. So you can't do things like that. You don't get Disney dining with it. You do get bus transfers though.
Yeah.
Park buses do run.
And even if you don't, you then just go to the hotel next door, the Yacht and Beach, and just use theirs.
Yeah, or you just skip over to Boardwalk, get the boat to Epcot.
That's next door. Any favourite restaurants over at Walt Disney World?
Sci-Fi Diner is really cool. So it's basically a drive-in cinema, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an indoor drive-in cinema. So you walk in and it's like nighttime.
You're sat in like a fake car. It's so cool. But there's the other one at Hollywood Studios as well that I really love. The 60s diner, or like, do you know?
50s prime time.
Mm, yes.
This is where the waiter pretends to be your cousin.
Yes.
And like mum's round the back, or auntie, somebody's round the back. And like if you leave any greens on your plate, they will make you stand in a corner.
Yeah, it's just a bit weird though, because it's like you're sat in, you feel like you're sat in someone's kitchen.
Yeah, because they've got like the gingham tablecloths and the TVs are on around showing like 60 TV shows.
I tell you where it did really surprise me though, was the place to eat in Pandora.
This Satouli Canteen.
Mm-hmm.
Very good food in Satouli Canteen. In Animal Kingdom.
Food, yeah. I really loved it there. I would eat there quite happily, continuously.
Did you have the cheeseburger pods?
No, I didn't.
Right, the cheeseburger pods. I think they might have taken them off the menu, but they're still on the children's menu. But if you ask, you can get them. They're like bao buns, meet a Big Mac.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Now I really want one.
Really nice. And good vegan options as well over at Satouli Canteen, if you listened to last week's podcast with Joe, who was a vegan. It's a little bit of a treat once you've got a Flight of Passage straight to Satouli Canteen.
Oh my God, I forgot about Flight of Passage. This is what that ride question did to me. I forgot about Flight of Passage.
Is that your favourite attraction?
Yes.
So you've changed your mind?
Yes.
Oh, poor old Rock and Roller Coaster.
It's insane. It's like soaring on steroids. I love it. I feel I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to spoil it, because I feel like it can be spoiled quite easily
yeah.
if you haven't been on it.
That's the thing, isn't it? You don't want to give too much away, but...
Yeah, like Rock and Roller Coaster is quite easy.
It's a roller coaster.
Roller coaster in rock the dark, and roll. But Flight of Passage is... just unbelievable.
Would Animal Kingdom be your favourite park?
No.
You can say Universal or SeaWorld if you want. Have you got a favourite park out of all
Universal
of them?
Universal is my favourite out of the lot of them.
Even over any of the Disney ones?
Oh, but Magic Kingdom. I think definitely Universal is probably my favourite because I'm a big Universal fan. I am a big Disney fan. So Magic Kingdom is my favourite Disney park.
For Universal... even though this is a Disney podcast, I think Universal is for slightly, if you're a bit older or maybe with you going with a group of friends, yeah. especially at Halloween, for Halloween Horror Nights,
yeah.
people tend to drink a little bit more. It's a bit more raucous. It's a bit naughty, isn't it? It's like yeah. Disney's naughty cousin.
It is.
It's a bit of a rebel.
But Disney Park, Magic Kingdom is my favourite. I love walking up Main Street. I don't think, no matter how many times I go, that first time on your first day when you walk in, and you walk into Main Street and you see the castle at the end, nothing beats that. It makes me cry every time. I'm like such a kid. I'm like, oh, God.
Just thinking about it. Yeah. Now, you mentioned that the first time you went, you just rocked up with no fast passes and you didn't plan anything. Have you now got a planning strategy
when
it comes to going? What's your strategy?
Oh, yes. So my strategy is the last time we went, we did a day-by-day basis of where we wanted to go. But the passes for Disney were not in my name. So I was saying to my friend, you need to put the fast passes.
Oh, my whole life, this is my biggest nightmare, that you put somebody else in charge of your fast passes.
Guess what?
Didn't do them.
Booking them on the day, weren't we?
No! So you had the app, you had the My Disney Experience app, yep. and you were doing it as you were going round.
Yep. And I was like, you know what? It's your fault that we're queuing 2 hours for Flight of Passage because you didn't look for the flipping fast passes
so
60 days ago.
You didn't get fast passes for Flight of Passage and Slinky Dog and Seven Dwarfs again?
Yeah. We queued for everything.
So this is interesting. So when you have to get your fast passes on the day, what was actually left? What were you getting fast passes for?
We were actually really lucky. So we got Tower of Terror. We got Rock and Roller Coaster. Got things like Space Ranger Spin, which I love. I think it's just a really fun ride.
So at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, Haunted Mansion, again, Magic Kingdom. We got a lot of fast passes for shows, which was quite helpful because we got, you know, you get in a little bit quicker so you can get a better seat.
That's interesting now because they've changed the fast pass tiers at Hollywood Studios. So that's, you know, you're picking two of those a day anyway, Indiana Jones or Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast show.
So I didn't even know that show existed the first time I went. And then I got like a week in and I was like, this is terrible. So the last time I went and did it properly... we went like, this is where we're going to go this day and this is what rides we're going to do. But the first day that we went last year, there was no one there.
So what time of year was that?
So last October, so 2018, I always do Magic Kingdom on my first day. I think that's pinnacle for anyone. If it's your first time going, do Magic Kingdom on day one, because I think that will set the bar for how incredible the Disney parks are.
Early morning,
yep.
straight away for Rope Drop. They do that little show where Mickey Mouse comes
yes!
in front of the castle to welcome you in.
Yes. Oh.
That's usually about whatever time the park opens, that's about 10 minutes before.
And we were just so lucky. We literally walked onto pretty much everything.
So what, that was October? What,
October,
beginning or end?
So it was Halloween. But I think that's why, because I think, obviously, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party would have been on in the evening. And on Halloween, I think everyone had probably just gone, oh, okay, we'll go in the evening.
Yeah, I think that's quite a good tip, because that's a separately ticketed event.
Yes.
So Magic Kingdom, if you haven't got a ticket for that, they'll usually kick you out about 4 or 5 o'clock.
They do.
So people kind of stay away from that if they're not going during the day.
Yeah, they do. It's a bonus because the parks are really quiet. That's what we found, that if we went on a day when Halloween Horror Nights was on, or if a day when Not So Scary was on, it was a lot quieter. so you could jump on stuff quite easy.
Yeah. Would that be your best tip for people, or have you got any other tips?
Book your fast passes.
Yeah, don't leave it to somebody else.
Don't leave it. If you have that friend who's like, oh yeah, don't worry, I've sorted it. And then 2 days before, they're like, oh, you know what? I haven't booked any fast passes. We'll wing it. We'll do it when we get there. No, you can't wing a Disney trip. You can't do it. It makes it so much more stressful. I feel like you can't enjoy it as much because you're constantly there going, oh God, what passes could we get? Oh, we've got to queue like 2 hours for this. Plan it. Put the hours in now.
You could have a dream trip. You could go whenever you want. Forget about money. Where would you go? Where would you stay? What would you do?
Grand Floridian, I'd love to stay in because I have heard good things.
Just because it's just a beautiful
resort. Stunning.
And you'd love to get that theme park view where you can look at Cinderella's castle from there.
It makes me, you know, when you go past on the monorail and you get like envy because you see people getting on the boat to go towards there and you're thinking, oh God.
One day.
Yeah, one day. I would love to stay there because it just looks stunning. Like, it looks incredible. And I know they built like a whole house out of gingerbread last year.
At Christmas, they have the massive life-size gingerbread house.
Yeah, and there were so many hidden Mickeys as well. It was just after I flew home last year when they made it. And I was on Instagram, like, zooming in, like, going, where are the hidden Mickeys? So I'd stay there.
In the gingerbread house. So you would go at Christmas?
I'd go at Christmas, yeah, because I've been sort of mid-November, but I'd love to have actual Christmas in Disney.
Actual Christmas Day.
Yeah. Can you imagine? If money wasn't an object, I'd have actual Christmas Day in Disney. I'd pay and get a guide.
You would have to, because I think Christmas Day is the only day when Magic Kingdom reaches capacity, when they physically go, you can't come in anymore. We are full.
Yeah.
Only day of the year, Christmas Day.
Money's not an object. I'd stay at Grand Floridian, Christmas and New Year. So I'd do the Christmas New Year period. I'd eat at Be Our Guest because I haven't eaten there yet.
Have you got another trip planned? Are you thinking about it at the minute, or are you hanging fire?
I'm thinking about it now.
I think about it all the time.
I'm thinking about it all the time. I think for me, as much as I love it, I like to try and leave it a little bit because I feel like it changes so much. So I went in quite quick succession the last time I went. I flew back last November and I went out this March. But even then, to be honest, the changes that have been made were, like, rapid. So I think when I went in October, Universal were building the Hagrid...
The Hagrid motorbike ride that's just opened.
That's just opened. They were building that. And then when I went back this March, obviously it was nearly finished.
Mm-hmm.
And the change was just mad. But I kind of like to leave it a little bit because it's almost nice to sort of forget a couple of things and then go back and be like, oh, I forgot how incredible Fantasmic is, or I forgot how much I love Happily Ever After and things like that. I say that, but now I really want to go back.
Maybe 2021 would be good for the 50th anniversary of Magic Kingdom.
Then I can save all my money and go stay at Grand Floridian.
Yeah, go at Christmas. Lovely chatting to you, Becky.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. And of course, now I've got to say just one thing. Oh. Have a magical day!
Yay!
If you're heading over to Orlando over the next few days, the next couple of weeks, the parks should be over the next weeks a little bit quieter. Some American schools have gone back. Obviously, British schools are still off. And I think people might just be hanging back for the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which opens at the end of this month. Also, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival opens on the same day at the end of this month. So you might find the next couple of weeks just might be a little bit quieter. The weather not as bad as well. Still hot, still humid in the early to mid 30s. Less thundery, though, as we approach the end of August. I've got some gigs if you're going to be there. You fancy some live music that you might not know about, although there's nothing going on in the parks. If you're listening tonight and maybe you're on your way to the airport right now, Friday the 9th of August, Jonas Brothers are on in Orlando at the Amway Centre. Khalid is going to be there as well next Friday. That's the 16th of August. And if you're a bit of a rocker, you want to see Slash from Guns N' Roses. He plays Hard Rock live in Orlando. That's over at Universal on Tuesday, the 13th of August. Also as well, a week today as we speak, which will be Friday, the 16th of August, is the first Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Yes, the 16th of August, the first Halloween party. This is a separately ticketed event, which happens on select nights over at the Magic Kingdom. Always worth knowing, if you want to go to the party, then yes. If you are not going to the party, but you're thinking of going to the parks, just keep an eye on your Magic Kingdom Day, because obviously if you're making a Magic Kingdom Day on the day of a Halloween party, you'll be kicked out at like 4 or 5 o'clock and you won't get to see the fireworks that night because they won't have them. And usually the nights around them, before and after a Halloween party, the fireworks get particularly busy as well, because they haven't been on the night before or the following night. So that's just worth thinking about. Week on Friday, 16th of August, the first Halloween party at Magic Kingdom. I don't know, the pumpkins are coming out already. Finally, this week's top tip of the week is well worth noting if you are going to Disney Springs or using a lot of transport. It's well worth knowing which parks are near which resort, especially if you're going from Disney Springs, because you can't get a bus. The Disney free buses don't go from Disney Springs to the parks. You can get from the parks or from your hotel to Disney Springs. You can get from Disney Springs to your hotel, but not from Disney Springs to the parks. So it's well worth noting which parks are nearby. So, for example, if you want to go to Magic Kingdom, you could always get a bus to the Contemporary, and then you can just walk over. Same goes for Epcot. If you're going to go to Epcot, if you get a bus to Swan and Dolphin, or if you get a bus to Yacht and Beach or Boardwalk, you can just walk over, go through International Gateway. Same if you want to go to Hollywood Studios, it's like a 5-10 minute walk from there. If you want to go to Animal Kingdom from Disney Springs, you're probably going to have to get a bus to a resort and then a bus from the resort to the park. Or you can just walk over to Saratoga Springs, which is near Disney Springs, and get the resort bus from the resort to one of the parks, if that makes any sense. Have a look at a map. Just make your kind of way around it and just see. You'll understand what I mean. It's well worth knowing which resorts are near which parks. Don't forget to keep in touch. If you are going to the parks, make us jealous. Tag us in your pictures. We are on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at PodMagical. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please make sure you give us a rating. We'd love a 5-star rating. We're going to be selecting one person who's given us a 5-star rating, and some exclusive Most Magical Podcast on Earth stickers will be coming your way if you've given us a 5-star review, like M. Wall over on Apple Podcasts, who's given us 5 stars. Running Motivation, listening every Friday morning during the workout, getting me excited for our February trip. Glad you like the podcast. Thank you for the review, and I'm glad you're working out to it as well. Just think of the train you can get in for rope drop. You can be straight at Star Wars before anybody else. And then just eat as many Rice Krispie treats as you like. Thank you for your 5-star review. Don't forget, you can leave yours on Apple Podcasts. So make sure you leave that review and make sure you subscribe as well. We have brand new podcasts landing every Friday. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.